Today's instruction will include mindfulness of thinking, and it nicely coincides with the topic of last night's talk of mental acts of loving kindness. And what goes on in this little big mind of yours? Is your inner life a friendly place? Is your inner landscape a harsh place? Are there simple ways of helping your inner landscape, your inner mind, be a safe place? That within yourself, it becomes a friendly place. And is it possible to have a friendly relationship with your thinking? And can your thoughts have a friendly relationship with everything else? One of the great instructions that I received around thinking was the instruction to not be bothered by your thinking. Don't be bothered by it. Sometimes being bothered by it only strengthens it, only makes it persist. I went for a walk recently with a friend, and a dog came up, picked up a stick, and I made the mistake of throwing the stick. And the dog wanted it again, and again, and then at some point I stopped, because this wasn't the time for it. And then the dog got more persistent, wanted more and more. And eventually what we had to do was basically ignore the dog, not be bothered by the dog. And then the dog, after a while, settled down, went away. So not being bothered by your thoughts. It's okay to think. Of course your mind thinks. And when thinking becomes persistent, or becomes the compelling thing going on, when thinking is not easy to let go of, then then you don't have to let go of it. And instead, you bring clear, relaxed attention to look thinking right in the eye. Thinking, I see you. I know you're there. If thinking is not so compelling and it's easy to let go of, it's great to let go of it. And in letting go of it, let go back into your breathing, into your body. But if thinking is difficult to let go of, with a quiet mind, as quiet as your mind, some quiet part of your mind, in the way that when your eyes see, the eyes themselves are quiet. gaze upon the thinking or listen to the thinking. As if you're not bothered by it, and also as if you don't believe in it. You don't disbelieve in it, but kind of like you would look at an oak tree if you went through the forest. It's a natural phenomena. And you can be aware of it. So in starting this session of meditation, it's often good to give a teeny bit more emphasis on an alert spine than you normally would be. Just a little, not so much so you strain, but just almost so you enjoy a little more sense of aliveness or uprightness or space created by sitting up straighter. And taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. And as you breathe in and out, softening the belly. And then letting your breath return to normal. As you exhale, see if you can soften around any places of holding in your body. Maybe you can relax around the face, the jaw. Softening in the shoulders, the area of your shoulder blades. Softening in the chest. And softening in the belly. And it's helpful to also soften the thinking muscle. And what I mean by that is, if there's a lot of thinking, there's usually comes with some pressure or tension or tightness or swirl of energy that can be felt somewhere in the body. Sometimes inside the skull, in the area of the brain. Sometimes in the forehead or around the eyes. Sometimes the jaws or the shoulders. Sometimes even very subtly in the hands. There can be ever so slight tightening in the hands connected to our concerns that we're thinking about. So any of the physical sensations, tightness, tension, connected to thinking that you can find. As you exhale, let that soften. Letting the thinking mind soften, and the image I like is that of a like a quiet, peaceful lake that spreads out in all directions horizontally, letting the mind settle, the waves quiet down. Vast, expansive, peaceful lake of a still mind. And if you find yourself thinking in a compelling way, repeat it repeatedly, be mindful of that. And as you're mindful of it, experiment with being mindful without being for or against it, but to be an independent observer, just seeing it. And in that kind of mindfulness, you begin to notice, perhaps, the strong interest you have in whatever you're thinking. And you can note the degree of interest you have, fascination. It's possible to be aware of how much importance we give to what we're thinking, the authority we give it. The degree of importance is different than the content, something we add. It's possible to be aware of the gravitational pull or even the glue that keeps us glued to our thoughts. Sometimes thoughts can be very dense and heavy and solid. Other times thinking can be soft, light, wispy. Take it or leave it. And the stronger, denser, heavier the thoughts are, the more likely is it you're involved in it. You're caught in the grip of them. And that's okay, but it's possible to be mindful of that grip. What it feels like. Perhaps even noticing the physical way in which we're gripped or captivated, involved. And perhaps as you exhale, you can soften that grip. Relax the way you invest importance in what you're thinking. Maybe you can stop giving the dog a stick. And finally, when thoughts are compelling and strong or repetitive in nature, spend some time seeing if you can notice what emotion comes with that thinking. What mood is with it? And sometimes the thoughts we, the words we think, or the images we see as part of our thinking are the symptoms of something deeper, more important, which might be the emotion underneath it that fuels and feeds thinking. And it's not the symptom that needs attention, but rather the underlying root, the underlying source in the emotion. So if fear or anxiety underlies the thinking, it's not really an issue of letting go of the thoughts. It's an issue of meeting, holding kindly the fear. If you're thinking a lot about the past, it might not be the past thoughts that are important, but rather the regrets underneath it. And hold that in a kind, open way. And if thoughts are not compelling, if they can just be in the background, let them be and stay with your breathing, stay in your body. It doesn't have to be a problem that you're thinking. Just let your thoughts recede to the background. Let them take care of themselves. And let the wonderful human capacity of attention, of awareness. Stay with your body, stay with your breathing. So one of the interesting challenges is to not let yourself be bothered by your thinking. Of course you'll think. And sometimes meditators are at war with their thinking. They think they're supposed to not think. And sometimes thinking gets quiet, and certainly sometimes we can let go of whatever we're thinking and be quiet for a few moments. Sometimes when we get settled, there can be longer periods of no thinking. But I think it's what's more realistic in meditation is not that thoughts go away, but that thoughts thin out. They become thinner. lighter, less dense. They float more than kind of clump through your brain. And this idea of thinning out so that, and with time, thoughts can be kind of like clouds. A classic image in Buddhism is, in fact, like clouds drifting through an empty sky. You see a thought, it comes, it goes, there's lots of space around it. There's space before and after it, and a thought just arises, and you see it go. And it doesn't really matter what you're thinking, it's just like, oh, look at that, there it goes. Isn't that interesting? And there's no tendency to get involved in the thought, and, you know, thoughts come up, and you think of an oak tree. Just let the oak tree comes and it goes, as opposed to, I wonder what kind of oak tree that is. I wonder how that ties into what Gil was saying. And, you know, and I could probably give a Dharma talk on oak trees. And what I would say would be, you know, and the oak tree just like stays right there. And, you know, and the thoughts get more and more serious. Serious thoughts. But the idea of thinning out, and after, so the idea of thinning, and that kind of helps, kind of moving in this direction of, you know, not investing so much importance in them, not investing so much weight in them, or not giving them so much authority. So not liking them or wanting them to go away is one way of being a little bit kind of feeding that sense of these are important things and they're wrong. So you can hold them lightly. It's okay to think. Have a friendly attitude towards your thoughts and support them and help them relax. Let your thinking relax. Sometimes a thinking mind has been working hard for years and years. And some people are surprised when they get quiet in meditation how weary, how tired that thinking brain, thinking mind can be. It's incessant, always thinking, always doing. And partly meditation can be a vacation. It's fine to think. We need to think. But all the time? No, we don't think all the time. You can give it a rest. So we're trying to help the thinking mind rest. Some people find it helpful that when really important thoughts come up, to acknowledge they're important, and then have a little kind of in mind's eye, imagine you're going to put them up on the shelf. I'm going to shelve them for now. And yes, I'll address it later. That was a good thought. I'll address it later. So that does two things. It kind of acknowledges the importance of the thought. So that's not dismissing it because it's not important. And also you're letting yourself know, yes, there's going to be time later for that, but this is not the time. And sometimes that makes it easier to put it aside. It can be very helpful to notice your relationship to thinking, how interested you are, how fascinated, how alarmed you are, whatever, you know, the relationship might be. You know, it can be interesting to notice the emotion connected to thinking. There's a tendency for a lot of future thoughts to be fueled by anxiety. Not always, but strong tendency. And so then if there's an emotion connected to thinking, you want to drop down and feel the emotion, do mindfulness of emotion, do the rain practice. Because if you don't, then the emotion is kind of like a factory that's working, and you can let go of the product of the factory, and the factory will just produce another product, another thought. And so you have to let go over and over again. But if you can kind of see, you know, where the source is, and settle that, let that relax, then it doesn't have that tension of, doesn't have to keep pumping out thoughts. It can be interesting to look at that, if you think in words, the inner voice kind of thing, what's the tone of that voice? Is it a friendly conversation tone you have? Is it harsh, judgmental? Are you yelling in there? What goes on, and what's the tone of the voice? If you think more in images, then it's more like what you see. What's the mood of the images? What's the emotional tone with the images? Do the images come with mood music? Ominous, mood music. And sometimes you can kind of, the mood that comes along with it sometimes is really what's much more interesting than the content. We tend to be overly fascinated or interested in content of thoughts. And when we do a mindfulness practice, it's more interesting to look at the process of thinking. Almost like put the content aside, it's not important, but the event of thinking, and to become a naturalist studying this phenomenon. But whenever you can, let go, let it be in the background. And it's really good to stay in the body or in your senses, present moment experience, breathing, body, sounds. And finally, some people find it helpful to use mental notes. Some people who don't like using mental notes as part of meditation practice do find it useful to, the only thing they label is their thinking. Sometimes there's a way in which you kind of say, oh, remembering, or planning, arguing, or, you know, having a conversation, whatever it might be, that it's somehow there's an art, and you can experiment with learning the art. The art of kind of really clearly acknowledging to yourself that that is what's happening. I'm planning. And in the very clear acknowledgement, you're actually stepping away. And you're stepping away and you're not in it. You're not entangled with it. You're like, step away and, oh, that's what's happening. And there's some freedom to be found in that. And so some people find the mental noting helpful. So, that was a lot of instruction about thinking. I would encourage you to just trust that you remembered what was important for you. You don't have to hold on to all of it. So we have maybe time for one or two questions if someone has. Yes? And humanity will be left out. I know some people actually have a notebook next to them and they write the ideas down so they can, instead of in their mind's eye kind of shelving it for later, they write it down and then they go back. And I know people who have gone back and looked at that notebook and said, what was I thinking? Why did I think that was so important? Great American novel. And So you have to decide what's more important for you. I mean, so you're welcome to, you know, start a new business while you're here. Just give us a commission. But you're welcome to, you know, but is that really why you're here for? And is there something really much more profound and interesting to do? It's a good sign that if you are stuck, that now your creativity is loosened. And that often happens to people when they meditate. There's some people find that they kind of get freer, and then that freedom and less inhibition and less kind of stuck, that there's the juices flow, the creativity flow, and it's very nice. It's a wonderful thing. And I think it's really good to give voice to that someday in your life, like just go for walks, sit and have tea, find other ways where that can really have a chance to live in you and be fed. So you don't want to deny it. But you might be better off here if there's a really profound thing going on here. So the analogy I like to use is you go into a big building, tall building with an elevator, and you want to go to the top floor because something important, beautiful, wonderful is going to happen up there. And you go into the elevator and it goes up to the second floor and the doors open and there's this beautiful, you know, fantasy world of wonderful things there and all your toys you ever wished you had, and wow, so you go off and spend a few years or decades exploring those, and they say, oh, wait a minute, I was supposed to go up, there's this wonderful place up. So you get back in the elevator, and it goes up to the third floor, the doors open, and there's an all-out war happening there. And people are suffering, and people are fighting, and there's the right and the wrong people, and I gotta go help, and I gotta get involved, and this is terrible, and we go up. We spend a few decades fighting the wars. Then it dawns, oh, wait a minute. I was going up the elevator to this wonderful place that's supposed to be up on top. Okay, I think I'll go back. So we go back, and then, and so eventually we trust the elevator. And we take it to this wonderful place on top, and it turns out the place on top is better than all the toys and solution to all the wars. But we didn't know that. What I'd like to say on this process of retreat, trust the elevator, which means trust the mindfulness, trust coming back, trust being in the present moment. And because you're going someplace and it brought you to this wonderful thing you have now, so it's wonderful what's happening to you, it brought you this far. Just wait, it'll take you even better places. So with a little carrot like that, maybe you're willing to. Okay, thank you. So, a couple of announcements. It looks as if Zora is coming back. A long time ago, Zora was the kitchen mentor for the retreat, but she cut her finger in the kitchen and had to have stitches, and so she went home just to nurse it. She's feeling much better, and she was planning to come back around noon today and probably just be here at the retreat and not be in the kitchen anymore. So you might see her coming back, and that's very nice. And the other is that, the first 2 days of practice discussion, you signed up for it. And so we've left that sheet, those two sheets up there, but we've, Ruth has become Gil and Gil's become Ruth. Or something like that. We've crossed out the names and substitute. So if you saw Ruth 2 days ago, day before yesterday, then you will see me today. And if you saw me 2 days ago, you'll see Ruth today. And Ruth's in room 1 and I'm in room 100. And so you can, and if you have any doubts about this, you can go look on the sheet, and today is Wednesday. And I think that's the only announcements I have. Enjoy your day and see if you can enjoy yourself, enjoy your practice. And I know it's challenging, plenty challenging. But it's also helpful if you don't take this practice too seriously. That helps you enjoy it more. It's important, but not serious. So thank you.